With Radio On The Go News, Brian Fincher reporting. The Franklin County Board of Supervisors yesterday discussed a recently passed resolution that established Franklin County Library Service funding. The supervisors requested that the county auditor gather more information for continued discussions next week. The Franklin supervisors approved Board Chairman Chris Van Ness to represent the Board of Supervisors at a Hampton City Council meeting in regards to the Hampton Public Library. The Franklin County Board of Supervisors also reviewed 16 applications for projects funded with ARPA funds that were submitted by county department heads. After discussion, they directed the county auditor to prepare a resolution approving projects and adding them to the next budget amendment. Yesterday, the Hardin County Board of Supervisors acknowledged receipt of the 2023 County Weed Commissioner's Report. The Hardin supervisors also set November 22nd as a deadline to apply for county boards and commissions. The Butler County Board of Supervisors today will consider acceptance of the annual report from the County Weed Commissioner and will consider reappointing County Conservation Director Matt Morris as Weed Commissioner. The Butler County Board of Supervisors meet today at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Allison. Friday, a Hardin County District Court judge found 24-year-old Nicholas Edward Cox not guilty of first-degree murder and child endangerment resulting in death. Judge Bethany J. Curry ruled in the case that dates back to March 2, 2021. On that day, Iowa Falls Police and Emergency Services responded to a 911 call and found Cox's infant son unresponsive. Cox was living in Iowa Falls at the time with his son and the child's mother. The infant later died at the hospital. The State Office of the Iowa Medical Examiner said the infant's death was homicide. In her ruling, the judge stated that Cox undoubtedly committed assault and child endangerment and that his actions toward his infant son were reprehensible, but the judge ruled the prosecution failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Cox's actions resulted in the child's death. Saturday, after 2 p.m., the Hardin County Sheriff's Department received a report of a field fire along Q Avenue, south of Highway 57 or southwest of Ackley. No injuries reported. Now, a combine was working in a harvested field when a fire broke out on the combine, but it was put out. However, the strong winds blew ashes into the field, started the field on fire, and it made it to a nearby farmstead along 110th Street, destroying a barn while two other buildings received some fire damage. Fire departments from 13 jurisdictions responded to the scene, along with the Sheriff's Department, Hardin County E-Squad, Hardin County Emergency Management, and Iowa Falls EMS. The fire covered up to 100 acres. Firefighters remain on the scene for up to 5 hours. The latest Iowa crop report from the USDA shows that corn harvested for grain reached 62% statewide. That's 2 days ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of the five-year average. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain remained steady at 17%. Soybeans harvested reached 87%. That's 1 day ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of the average. The State Agriculture Department, along with the USDA, have confirmed 2 positive cases of the bird flu, one in Pocahontas County, the other in Guthrie County. The site in Pocahontas County is a commercial turkey flock. The site in Guthrie County is a mixed species backyard flock. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the recent detections in birds do not present a public health concern. Past outbreaks have impacted operations in Franklin, Hardin, and Wright counties. The demand for qualified nurses in the workforce continues to grow, and officials with the Iowa Valley Community College District say they are rising to the challenge to meet those demands with their students. This semester, enrollment in the IVCCD one-year practical nursing diploma program has increased 20% since last year. Along with the increased enrollment, IVCCD says there's also been an increase in the successful board at passage rates. Passage rates for IVCCD LPN students were at 92.8% and at 93.33% for RN students. Both rates are higher than the national passage rates. The RN passage rate has seen a 17% increase and passage rate since the year of 2021. A Chickasaw County firefighter died in an accident involving two department vehicles Sunday. A report from the Iowa State Patrol says an Ionia fire truck and a UTV converted for firefighting were trying to pass a slow-moving tractor as they responded to a fire call around 4 p.m. on Sunday. The fire truck struck the back of the UTV, causing it to roll. The driver, 43-year-old Anthony Hoffman of Ionia, was ejected. Hoffman was flown to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, where he later died from his injuries. Many Iowans are already stockpiling Halloween treats. And while they know gobbling down mounds of candy can leave kids with a tummy ache, too much sweet stuff can be dangerous and even deadly for pets. Jesse Phillips, who's director of development at the Animal Rescue League of Iowa, says chocolate is toxic to dogs and cats, and while rarely fatal, can result in significant illness.
So it really just depends on the amount ingested and the size of the animal. So if you're ever, you know, if your pet has ever gotten some chocolate and you're unsure, you can always call your veterinarian or the pet poison help hotline.
That hotline is 800-213-6680. Again, that's 1-800-213-6680. Some Iowans already have a big bowl of treats on the counter ready to go for trick-or-treat night, while kids may leave their sacks of candy laying around after they've had their fill. Both types of candy stashes should be hidden away from pets.
Keep it in a safe place. Better be safe than sorry. And then, you know, we all know about chocolate, but aside from chocolate, there are other ingredients that can be dangerous to your pets. So artificial sweeteners like xylitol can be toxic. So really just be safe. Keep them up high or out of the way. Be totally sure that your pets can't get into the candy.
Many Iowans have carved grinning pumpkins for their porches, which to a dog may look and smell like a tasty treat to eat.
They might, and we would probably recommend not feeding animals raw pumpkin, especially if it's like a jack-o'-lantern that has been sitting out for a while, mostly just because, you know, bacteria can grow if that jack-o'-lantern has been sitting outside. Probably best not to feed it to a pet, so do try to keep your pets away from raw pumpkin.
Also, Halloween decorations can be hazardous for pets, as curious kittens might stick their paws into a jack-o'-lantern's flame, and puppies may chew on the bones and make up skeletons. Also, in the news, there's still hope that the remainder of the fall will bring moisture that can help cut back the ongoing drought in Iowa. DNR hydrologist Tim Hall says late fall has not been the best time to make up a moisture deficit, though there have been exceptions. He says November normally sees less than 2 inches of rain over the entire month, but a couple of years ago we saw very wet fall months. He says warmer temperatures would help as they keep the ground from freezing and shutting out water. Hall says once the ground freezes, there tends to be a very rapid runoff of rain and not as much of a benefit. Hall says any rain we get before the ground freezes is a bonus in helping build up of the groundwater that has been way behind for months. Today's guest on the Radio on the Go Newsmaker program is NIAC President Dr. Stephen Scholes, who announced his retirement from the Mason City-based school, which will be effective as of June 30th, 2024. The Radio on the Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays during the noon hour on KLMJ, following the news, weather, and obituaries, with archive programs available under the News tab at RadioOnTheGo.com. The high in the past 24 hours here at our studios, 77, and the low of 46. For Radio on the Go News, Brian Fiancher reporting.